Our prayer is for the Word of God to transform you into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, while simultaneously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread. Amen. Stop entertaining the enemy. He's not worthy of that attention. This generation that's coming will move in spiritual territories that defy the natural order of things. That defy the natural order of things. Revelations and experiences of heaven are coming that have, mark it down, that have no earthly parallel. Anyone that's had a vision, a God-given vision of the place of glory, the third heaven, or, you know, revelations of that, paradise, you know, even the colors that you saw there or words that you heard spoken, there's no parallel here. We know blue here on a perfectly beautiful day. The sky is so beautiful and blue, but on that side, amen. Amen. On that side, it's different. Amen. You don't even know if you should call it blue. It's magnified. Everything is intensified. It's so different. The air is different. There's no refraction of anything. You put your hand down in water, you know, you put your hand down in water, now it changes and it's kind of different. And the whole oxygen level is different. There, it's the same. Everything's the same. Here you see shadows. There you see no shadows. How are you going to explain something like that? There, you have a million people in front of you. You see the first person like you see the last person. How you feel? It's different. Amen. Amen. There are coming to the planet. Amen. Amen. There are coming experiences of heaven that have no earthly parallels.
Amen.
And they're going to become, I don't think this is saying it lightly, but they're going to become commonplace. Amen. It's not going to be one here and one way over there and one, no, it's going to become commonplace among the people of God. Give me John chapter 3, verse 12. The Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 12. Greater works. But again, we must have precept upon precept. There must be foundation laid so we don't get spooky. Amen. One of the works that the Lord revealed to me that are going to manifest, I saw a child go to a hospital, not go in the hospital, but lay his hands on the walls outside the hospital and pray. And when a child, and when he did, people inside were pulling IVs out of their arms, getting up off of sick beds, coming conscious again. Greater works. Is Jesus working? I'm led to share an experience I had in Mexico in a state called Michoacán. Some of you that are familiar, you know where that's at. That's where the monarch butterflies go every year. They just go in hundreds of millions of them, and they migrate there. And we were in the mountains in a place called Morelia, and we're about to do a Bible study. And you know, let me say this. When you move in the things of God and you're obedient to God, you enter into what I call a sent dimension. Amen. That's an apostolic dimension. Apostle means sent ones. Amen. But we're apostolic people. I don't like to label a church or a move, but apostolic, book of Acts. You're apostolic. It's not a denomination to me.
Amen,
amen. Amen. It's a book of Acts thing. The Acts of the Apostles.
Amen, amen.
But we're all apostolic people. When we move in things like that, look for miracles, signs, wonders, phenomena to happen because you're in the sent dimension. That's why so many things happened with Paul. He was always in that dimension. And we were going to Bible study, and we had about a mile or so to walk, and a young couple with a newborn came out, and the baby was wrapped up, and they were going to the Bible study. They heard we were coming and that we were going to have a Bible study. And so they came, and they were walking beside us, and they were speaking Spanish to Eduardo, my interpreter, and they asked if the gringo, that would be me, would pray for their baby. And I thought, well, sure, I'll pray for the baby. And the Lord spoke to me and said, don't pray for the baby. Now you hear these things in the sent dimension. When you're not in sent dimension, you just go with the status quo, with the protocol, how you always do. But I heard him say, don't pray for the baby. I thought, oh. He said, ask if you might be able to carry the baby. And so I asked him, I said, ask him, Eduardo, if it's all right if I just carry the baby. And they were just like, oh, yeah, you know. And so I took the baby, said, take a look. Unwrapped. And from my understanding, the baby was dying from dysentery. Now, anyone that knows about Montezuma's Revenge, that's what I call it. I contracted it the last day I was there. Only time I've ever been sick like that on a mission. But it's Montezuma's Revenge. It can take you out. And this baby was just maybe 2 months old, and it looked like it was dead. It was lifeless. The skin was a certain color. It was messed up. It scared me. And I'm carrying this thing, you know. And I'm thinking, my, I'm wondering if this is why the Lord said don't pray for it. But it did. It kind of frightened me to just see that, you know, because sometimes you think you got to do something. But as we walked, the Lord said, when you, and I wrapped it back up real quick, and we just walking, and I'm quiet. He said, when you get to the place where you're going to have the Bible study, the baby will have been healed.
Amen.
And in that sent dimension, I had just enough, I'll say, boldness to tell that couple, when we get to the Bible study and you unwrap the baby, it will be healed. And they just begin to rejoice. You know, don't you like that, just that raw faith? Well, no, what you talking about, gringo? No, they didn't say that. They just started rejoicing. About 15 minutes or so later, we got there. We unwrapped that baby. God is my witness. Pounds were put on the baby. It didn't look like the same baby. The eyes were open. It was alive and well. Creative miracle. Now, had I just stuck to the protocol, maybe God would have healed it that way, but God wanted to show me he works in all kind of ways. If you're open to it, there's nothing too hard, nothing impossible. There's a realm where the reality of the scriptures will come alive to you. How could Elijah put salt in some water? What's salt gonna do? And took all the poison out. Greater works. John chapter 3, verse 12. Now here's the catch. Jesus said, if I have told you earthly things and you don't believe, if I've told you to tithe,
amen,
and I'll provide for you,
amen,
and you haven't believed that,
amen,
how can you believe if I tell you these things that have no earthly parallel? They have no earthly parallel. There's nothing you can compare to it on the earth. How can you believe that if in the process of me preparing you precept upon precept, you haven't believed what I told you?
Amen.
You haven't believed the earthly stuff.
Amen.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Jesus wants us to understand spiritual realities that have no natural picture. These are part of the greater works. I ain't never seen that. Well, that don't mean that God can't do it. I ain't never heard that. That doesn't mean that God won't do it for you. I'm telling you, there's a generation that's entering into this dimension. The greater works. Let me give you an example. We compare evangelism to harvest, right? Like three phases. You plow the field. You sow the seed. You water. And then you harvest.
Amen. Amen.
Right? It's like evangelism.
Amen.
There are seasons. Now, as long as the earth remains, there'll be seasons. But there is coming something to a remnant that's going to defy this natural order. Remember Jacob? I'm sorry. Isaac in Genesis 26 was told to sow in the midst of famine. Nothing growing, everything burnt up, parched, dry. Sow the seed. Isaac, he sowed in the midst of his enemies. And that same year,
amen.
Not the next year,
amen.
That same year, God accelerated the growth and he had a bumper crop.
Amen.
While everything else was dry around him.
Amen.
God just showed in that portion of scripture how he will defy natural order.
Amen.
Amen.
But he, to you and me, he has to become the I am. Not the I will be or I was, but the I am. For if we come to him, we must first believe that he is.
Amen.
See, faith, now faith is. Now faith is. Not now faith will be or one day faith will be. No, now faith is. So plowing, sowing, watering, and harvesting. But God gave us a superior revelation in John. If you give me John chapter 4, verse 35. Where he actually is showing us something to let us know that we are not bound. We're not bound to the natural order.
Amen.
Now you read this in context, and in the time that he said this is very important. He says, say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now he was speaking in a spiritual sense.
Amen.
But even in the natural sense, he's saying, don't say, you know, it's the season says it's not harvest time yet. Harvest comes in about 4 months. He said, no, don't say that.
Amen.
Don't say wait till the season is right.
Amen.
He said, if you look out on the harvest right now, you'll see that the harvest is white for harvesting right now.
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.trbanks.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.